And later he was sitting up on the Mount of Olives. Now, beginning with verse 3, a little later, as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" That is the one place in the Bible where this phrase, "the end of the world," is used. And Jesus answered that question. But he had been talking about the destruction of the temple that was to occur in their lifetime, and it did occur in the year of 70 AD. But these disciples thought that the end of the world was going to come at that same time. They thought it would come in their lifetime. And so they asked him the second question, because they thought it would occur at the same time. "What will be the sign of your coming," his coming back, the second coming, coming back to earth, "and the end of the world," the end of this world, this age? And Jesus answered and said unto them, first he answered their first question of when the temple would be destroyed, and he said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." He was talking to them in their lifetime. "For many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive the many." That was in their lifetime, that many would come even in their lifetime, professing to be ministers of Jesus Christ, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and yet deceiving the many.
Herbert W. Armstrong, from his World Tomorrow program back in 1983, going through the Olivet Prophecy, that pivotal prophecy, the most important prophecy Jesus ever uttered. And you rarely hear preachers today taking you through that prophecy. We're gonna do that. We can't cover it all, but we're going to do as much as we can on today's program. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. So Mr. Armstrong's going through those first few verses of Matthew 24, verse 3 again, the disciples saying to Christ, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" This is just days before Jesus Christ's crucifixion. And the disciples, the students of Christ, were curious about, as you heard there in that cold open, they were curious about, well, what's going to happen before the end of this age, before the end of this world? This is New Testament teaching. This is straight out of the Gospels. And guess what? Christ, he went on and gave them all kinds of signs. The Greek word for sign, by the way, this is from Strong's Concordance. It says in the New Testament, the word is used to denote a sign or a miracle that serves as a divine indication or attestation. It often refers to miraculous events that signify God's intervention or authenticate his messengers. These signs are not merely wonders, but carry a deeper spiritual significance, pointing to the truth of God's message and the authority of Jesus Christ. Why are there so many signs, and why are people today, for the most part, they're not interested? Here you have all of these signs, these prophecies pointing to, well, you name it, the birth of Christ, all these details, when it would happen, where it would happen, the circumstances surrounding it. And then, of course, all the prophecies or the signs pointing to Christ's crucifixion, his resurrection. They're all over the place. Signs are meant to show us where to go or to show us what's coming. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, Peter said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." God's word is sure. A third of the Bible is prophecy. And it is certain, God's prophecies. That word for prophecy in 2 Peter 1:19 says it's used to describe messages, writings, or utterances that are inspired by God and convey his will or future events. God wants us to know if you subscribe to our magazine, the Trumpet Magazine, I mean, you in this magazine, you read a lot about world events, but you read about world events with the clear light of Bible prophecy shining forth so that you can understand, well, why are these events significant? Why is it important? And what's prophesied to happen next? This one here has to do with the war with Iran. And my father says, you know, as you can see on the cover, what's next? If you're not a subscriber, there's no cost, no obligation. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost. It's already been paid for, but you just have to give us your mailing address, make the request, and we'll give you a free one-year subscription. Another booklet we'd like to offer is this one, He Was Right. You saw Herbert Armstrong there at the opening of the show, and this booklet, recently expanded, takes you through so many of the pivotal prophecies of God that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed for decades, and so many of them have been fulfilled, or they are being fulfilled. It's amazing to watch. If you haven't watched our daily program, The Trumpet Daily, make sure that you go to our website every weekday morning here in the United States. That's thetrumpet.com, where we really do focus in on the detail of so many world events. I mean, Luke 21, that's the parallel passage of the Olivet prophecy, by the way, in Matthew 24. And in Luke 21, Christ says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. I mean, in that Olivet prophecy, he actually talked about fleeing. He talked about escaping. As you heard there from Mr. Armstrong, he talked about deception, religious deception, people being deceived. He talked about great tribulation. We'll get to that in a moment if we have time. Just one more plug. This is Nuclear Armageddon is at the door. In this little booklet, my father spends quite a lot of space just talking about this Olivet prophecy and the significance of all these events we're seeing in the last days. If you look at some of the headlines, a lot of these headlines in the news we've talked about either on the daily program, The Trumpet Daily, or on this program, The Key of David, just to give you a handful. How U.S. dollar hegemony is entering a new era of uncertainty. Is that significant? The dollar weakening in value? I should say it is. The Guardian has a piece. Trump's Iran strikes accelerate the world's drift from dollar dominance. What kind of world will it be when it drifts away from a dominant dollar? Once the dollar is weak or even collapses in value, what does that mean for the rest of the world? What does that mean for the United States? The Atlantic has a piece, America versus the World. And I mean, if you look at the Trumpet Magazine, this is the March issue, where our headline is, the world is uniting against America. And you're seeing all kinds of headlines very similar to this. The Atlantic, America versus the World. It says in that article, Americans are entering the most dangerous world they have known since World War II, one that will make the Cold War look like child's play, and the post-Cold War world like paradise. It says, in fact, this new world will look a lot like the world prior to 1945, with multiple great powers metastasizing, competition, and conflict. It says the U.S. will have no reliable friends or allies. I mean, these are publications that lean far to the left in some cases, and they don't necessarily like the current, you know, U.S. administration or presidential administration. But still, there's a lot of truth in that. It's an unstable world. Paul said it's a dangerous and perilous world. That's the way the Bible describes the last days. It's going to be like the days right before the flood. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And so why do you have so many preachers and commentators saying the world's getting better? It's just getting better and better. We've never had this kind of prosperity and power and strength. World events are accelerating in strict accordance with Bible prophecy. Another headline, this is from Politico. Trump is facing an increasingly defiant world. And then you look at some of the headlines from abroad or about what's happening in Europe or Iran or Russia or China. The Atlantic, and we had a program on this a few months ago. The new German war machine, is that significant with respect to Bible prophecy? Another one from Global Research, it says, why is Germany rearming again? Does anyone remember what happened last time they rearmed? Why are they doing it again? The new German war machine. That's quite a headline. You see a lot of headlines about the breakup of NATO. President Trump, you know, often, frequently now, saying, well, if NATO's not going to help us, why should we help them? And then European nations saying, if Donald Trump's going to abandon us, we better build up a new military machine, a war machine. And they're doing it. It's pretty amazing, the events that are happening. What is the significance of all these headlines? I gave you some from the press. Here's a few from our Trumpet magazine. Here again, if you're not a subscriber, make sure you call our operators today and request the Trumpet magazine. I mentioned Germany unites the world against America. Well, that's actually, yeah, that's March 2026. There was one in January, Make Europe Great Again. And you have the Trump administration really encouraging this. Make Europe Great Again. Another one. This is from April, the most recent Trumpet. France's nuclear embrace of Germany. And then we had one in March on the end of NATO. And we've been talking about, you know, the separation of America and Europe and the NATO alliance basically imploding. We've been talking about this for decades. Herbert Armstrong talked about it back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And now we see these things coming to pass. When we come back, we'll take you into some of the verses in the Olivet prophecy. See what Jesus Christ said about these last days that we're living in. We'll be right back.
Celtic Throne is back on tour. This summer, 15 cities, 8 states, one unforgettable experience. Experience this revolutionary new show, an electrifying fusion of Irish dance, music, theatre and cinema. Experience the show audiences worldwide are raving about.
Absolutely fantastic. I've seen the River Dance and the Lord of the Dance, and they were amazing. This blew me away.
Absolutely marvellous. And I've been to see River Dance about 5 times, and this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it.
It's thrilling. It stands at the side of Lord of the Dance and River Dance. It's equal partners.
Absolutely stunning. Absolutely incredible. Not in my wildest dream did I think that it could compare to the other shows, but it was amazing. Amazing.
My favourite show I've been to ever, and I've been to Riverdance, Lord of Dance, just my favourite. It was amazing.
I love it. It was amazing. Best experience ever.
Don't miss your opportunity to experience the trailblazing new Irish dance show capturing the hearts of audiences all over the world. Get show and ticket information at CelticThrone.com.
Before the break, I took you through a lot of the headlines that you're seeing, and not just in the press or the international press, but also things we've been talking about at the Trumpet magazine for many years, or going back to Herbert Armstrong's ministry and what he wrote in The Plain Truth. I mean, The Plain Truth went to 8 million subscribers there in the mid-1980s. Now we're seeing so many of these prophecies being fulfilled, and more and more, when you look at what's happening, when you analyze world events, when you view them under the clear light of Bible prophecy, you see how world events are intersecting directly in many cases, or indirectly, with what Jesus prophesied at the Mount of Olives, just days before he was crucified. So much of it intersects directly with this Olivet prophecy. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 33, it says, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. What is near? Well, you go back to the start of the chapter, and the disciples said, hey, tell us the signs of your coming and the end of this age or the end of this world. And then, I don't have time to get into all the detail, but hopefully if you order this book, you can study it. You can study this chapter. And then, like Jesus said, watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape. To escape what? Well, great tribulation is coming. This is red letters in the Gospel of Matthew. When you see these things, know that it is near. The end of this world, the end of this age, it's near. In Matthew 24, verse 25, it says, behold, I have told you before. I mean, Christ, in the case of his crucifixion and resurrection, he told the disciples over and again, and they still couldn't believe it. And he had to repeat himself. Even after the resurrection, after he had been resurrected, the disciples couldn't believe that he was resurrected, even though he told them it was happening or that it would happen. I've told you before, I mean, there's just so many signs, but most people are totally ignorant or blind, or their heads are buried in the sand. They don't see. They're spiritually blind, and they don't need to be. If we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, then we can begin to see the significance of world events. I mean, it's more and more. It's like there's an earth-shaking event every other day. Something very significant happening in the Middle East or in Asia or in Europe or with the United States. Matthew 24 and verse 11, it says, and many false prophets, this is prophesied for the last days. I mean, how can you know if the preacher that you listen to regularly is telling you the truth or not? I mean, what standard do you hold them to? Well, it's got to be the Holy Bible. Jesus said, thy word, God's word is truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Isaiah the prophet talked about the law and the testimony, and that if they don't come with that, then they're a false prophet. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity or sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, many of God's people are going to lose God's love because of neglect, because of unbelief, because they've become complacent, at ease, spiritually at ease in Zion, as Amos said. The book of Revelation unveiled at last. This is Herbert Armstrong. He says, this is also speaking individually of truly spirit-begotten Christians who have become so lukewarm, so out of prayerful contact with God, that they will not be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So many of these lukewarm Christians, they're going to have to go right through the tribulation. They won't escape what's coming because they've drifted far from God. I mean, my father writes about what happened in the final era of God's church in Malachi's message. If you don't have that in your library, you're welcome to request that as well. There's no cost or obligation. It says in verse 13, but he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. You don't hear that message much today. The message coming from most preachers today is that once you're saved, I mean, you've made it. That's it. All that's expected of you is a shallow belief in Jesus, and you're saved. Here, Christ says you have to endure to the end. What does endure mean? You know what it means. I'll give you the definition. To remain, to bear trials, to have fortitude, to persevere. Persevere through what? Well, Jesus elsewhere talked about this being the straight and narrow way. It's the difficult way, the way of a Christian. There's challenges, there's trials, there's tests, there's persecution. You know, Jesus talked about that in the Olivet Prophecy. And you can see more detail on that in Mark's version, Mark 13, and then Luke 21, as I mentioned earlier. But we have to endure to the end to be saved. Thayer's lexicon, it says that word endure means to persevere absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith, to endure, bear bravely and calmly, absolutely, ill treatment. You've got to bear bravely through that. You've got to be persistent. You've got to stay the course. You've got to endure. Mr. Armstrong in his autobiography said, one of the great success lessons that you need to learn is persistence, to stay with a thing. You've got to stay the course. I mean, Mr. Armstrong said that persistence was one of the seven laws of success. Most people give up, even when they're very close to obtaining victory. They give up, they throw in the towel, they quit. A lot of God's people in these last days, they've quit on God. They've become Laodicean, complacent, rich and increased with goods, physical goods, but they're not rich in faith. They're not strong in faith. Here God gave them all these signs, and they're blind to it. That's how the Laodiceans are described in Revelation 3. They think they're rich, they're increased with goods, but they're blind and naked spiritually. And they had this magnificent work that went on for more than five decades under Herbert Armstrong's leadership. And it was blessed. There was fruit, growth, constant growth. And yet, as soon as Herbert Armstrong died, this rebellious, corrupt leadership came into play and they just imposed their will on the whole church. And most of God's people just went along. They didn't stand up to the deception. They didn't stand up to the evil. They just went along with it. It's so easy to do that. Human nature just wants to go along and not ruffle any feathers. Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." The end. Look at how much Christ is talking about the end. What does that mean? Well, again, go back to verse 3. The end of this world. The sign of your coming and the end of this world. And then also just that word witness. I mean, that tells you what God's church is going to be out there doing. Most people are going to reject the warning witness. They're going to reject the true gospel as it's proclaimed by God's servant through God's church. But that didn't stop Herbert Armstrong from proclaiming the truth about the coming gospel, or rather the coming kingdom of God. That's the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. The good news, that's what gospel means. The good news of the coming kingdom of God. When that goes right around the world like it did during the days of Herbert Armstrong, then you know we're getting close to the end. The end shall come. And notice the next verse, verse 15. "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand." Notice the language in this Olivet prophecy. I mean, it talks about the end of the world. It talks about false prophets. It talks about great deception. It talks about fleeing. It talks about escaping. It talks about abomination of desolation. It talks about great tribulation. How many preachers are there that even tell you about these things? How many are there that are out there witnessing or warning you about what's coming? Not very many. Not very many, because, well, like Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, the time's coming when people are just going to want preachers that teach them smooth things, that tell them, yeah, everything's great. The nation's healthy and prosperous. Individually, it couldn't be better. All you have to do is scratch just a little bit beneath the surface, and you see a lot of problems in our lives, our marriages, our families, our communities, our nations. And everything, as I said earlier, everything intersects with what Jesus taught in the Olivet Prophecy. It aligns perfectly with what he said that we can look forward to, not forward in the anticipating in a positive way, but you know it's coming, in other words. You know it's going to happen because Christ said so. The gospel went right around the world. And then it talks about, in the very next verse, it says that's a sign of the end. And the very next verse, it talks about an abomination of desolation. In Luke's version, Luke 21, it talks about armies surrounding Jerusalem. I mean, these are end time events prophesied by Jesus Christ in the Olivet Prophecy, the Mount of Olives, just days before he was crucified. This is what his mind was on. This is what the minds of the disciples were on days before the crucifixion. And now we're living in those days that Jesus described. If you don't have Nuclear Armageddon is at the door, it's a sobering booklet, it's a sobering study. Make sure you request your free copy today. Also, He Was Right, and then subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. There's no cost or obligation for any of the literature that you receive from this program. We've already covered the costs of the printing, the production, and even the mailing as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Nuclear Armageddon is at the door, and He Was Right. Order now.